I Suck at Dating with Dean Ungler and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Welcome to this week's episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. And for the listeners out there that loved our episode with Tayshia and Brooks, we brought them back because they were so fantastic. But not only are they back this time, well, I can't speak for Brooks here, but Tayshia has had a couple glasses of wine.
Okay.
I've had a couple glasses of wine myself. We have a lot.
This is drunk Help, I Suck at Dating.
I love it.
I haven't had any glasses of wine. I'm basically here to keep this episode on the rails.
Yeah. Brooks keeps us grounded, you know? But to be quite honest, we wanted to spice up the show a bit.
Right. I never would have used the words that Amy just used, but here we are. Apparently, we're drunk. So, for this week's episode, we've got Tayshia, we've got Brooks, and myself. Tori, of course, as always, reading the questions for us. We're going to start off with some, as we kind of had a couple weeks ago with the just listener questions about what's going on with dating. And I feel like now that Tayshia's a little bit looser,
wow,
a little bit more fluid, a little bit more willing to just go for the gold, she might give us a better advice.
Just me?
Well, yes, of course.
Okay, just me.
And Brooks, too. The sage, the wise sage of all is Brooks, and he's going to be here to help answer some of these questions as well. We're going to start off with some listener questions, and we're going to move into a little bit more, how could I say this, provocative.
Risque.
Risque, yeah.
Risque.
A little
like
raunchier questions.
No, I don't like the word raunchy.
Nothing bad. We don't have to draw from personal experience, but just like things that our listeners have asked that are a little bit more X-rated, if you will.
I feel like my voice is a little deeper at night.
I'm going to say, listening in these headphones right now, it sounds pretty good. So actually, while our friends, not too long ago, were recording a couple of their podcasts, they host Playing Around on iHeartRadio. They also host How Men Think. Brooks is one of the co-hosts on that one. And while they were recording those, we were asking each other questions in the opposite room through this card game. It was fun. It was a little deeper than I expected it to be. But some of the questions, they were interesting. So we're going to kind of play the same card game. Actually, in all honesty, like, I wish there was a microphone in that room because some of the things Tayshia said, man, it was weird.
Tayshia was dropping bombs in there.
Yeah.
It was gnarly. We learned a lot.
There's a lot to me that y'all don't know. It really does.
It's called Table Topics Original. And like I said, some of these questions, man, they're weird. And they're like, it doesn't help you get to know anyone better. Some of them are like, what's your favorite virgin daiquiri from your favorite bar in town? It's like, well, who cares? But I got a couple picked out that I kind of enjoy. And I think actually this first one that I have for Tayshia and Brooks, because I don't really know Brooks that well, but...
You're answering them too, by the way.
Yeah, Dean, you're answering them too.
No, of course, absolutely. But Tayshia, this one is directed at you, but I'm actually more interested in Brooks's response because I just don't know him as well. the question is, what do you most admire about your parents?
I think perseverance. I think my parents, they've met each other in high school and they have gone through a lot of hard times, but they're still together. And I can't say that about a lot of other relationships that I've witnessed. And I know like their struggles. So the fact that they're still together is a huge accomplishment. So, yeah.
I would echo that for mine. My parents just celebrated their 45th wedding anniversary this summer. And I think that's just so cool. When I look at mom and dad, like, I just think of them as a unit.
Mm-hmm.
They're mom and dad. And as a child, that's so cool that whenever I see them, I get to see both of them. Whereas a lot of people will only get to see their father or their mother.
Absolutely.
If their parents are divorced. That would be probably the thing. And then also, I had one other thought. What was it? Something I heard a long time ago that really resonated with me about relationships is you have people that have complementary skills with similar values is how long-term relationships last. And you can have different things, but complementary skills with similar values. So my mom is really good at this, my dad is really good at this, but they have the value of family and love and a home life and stuff. So
I agree with that. My mom is supposed to be a nun.
What?
Yeah. My mom went to high school with nuns as teachers and she wanted to be a nun. And then she came to the States and she met my dad and my dad corrupted her in a good way.
And that's how you got here.
I was born. Yeah. But no, my parents have been together for 32 years. So Yeah.
I often wonder, actually, we talked about this a little bit on the podcast before, if why my like cynicism towards marriage comes from the fact that, like, I look at you two, right? Brooks, I didn't know that your parents are still married happily to this day. And Tayshia, obviously, your parents are still going strong too. It's like, I wonder if that instills, it must, like, instills values in both of you to, like, want to emulate yeah. that moving forward in your own relationships.
Yeah, for me, it does, for sure. It instills hope. It gives you, you literally see in front of your eyes a marriage and to a partnership and people committing to each other. Like, it has to affect you. And I can't speak on the other side on divorce, but because I haven't had parents, obviously, that have been divorced, but that has to have an effect on your psyche and your approach to a relationship, even at a minor subconscious level or something. There has to be something that's affects kids, depending on your age when that happens, especially if it's a kid at a developmental age, 10, 12, I mean, 14, I mean, every age is developmental.
Let me ask you this, hypothetical or not, let's say you meet a partner that has maybe experienced trauma in some sort in their life, and they don't have necessarily the same familial background that you've experienced yourself. Yeah. Is that a red flag for you, or is that something that you're able to, like, consider and work through?
No, yeah, my wife's parents were divorced.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Do you know if it was a messier divorce?
I know the details of it, but I'm not going to divulge that. Yeah.
It's very fair.
Tayshia? Well, me, I can tell you that my parents are happily married and I'm divorced. So I think that, yeah, I felt a lot of pressure to make sure that my marriage worked. But also at the same time, I made sure to do everything I needed to do in order to know that I did everything I could at the end of the day. So, yeah, it definitely was scary to tell my parents, like, yeah, it's just not working out. And Dean, I think I was telling you this a little bit earlier. Before my divorce, I really wasn't open with my parents about, like, every single thing that was going on in my relationship / me in general. But because of my divorce, I opened up a lot more. And, like, they are now my closest friends in a way, because they're still my parents and I really respect them. But, yeah, I think the fact that they are still married does kind of put, like, a pressure on you in a way, because you want to make sure that that's the same for you.
Right. Well, and part of the reasons that I even bring up the question is because, like I said, for someone from, like, me, who my family kind of broke up when I was 15, my mom passed away, and my parents never really liked each other when I was a kid anyway. So it was like growing up in a family that, like, didn't really want to be together, but that was together because they felt like they had an obligation to be, mm-hmm. which I admire that sense where it's like, yeah, we have an obligation to our child to raise him up in a family other than separate, right? Like, that's an admirable thing. And then seeing a lot of my friends, I don't know, maybe it's the water in Colorado, but a lot of people in Colorado seem to get divorced.
The water in Colorado.
And a lot of my friends, like, they've gone, like, they've had, like, split times between their parents. They've had to, like, decide between where do they have to spend Christmas. And, like, their husbands are trying to, like, extract as much as they can from the wives and vice versa, like, all these things. And so I think that, for whatever reason, I'm like a magnet to, like, these bad aspects and attributes of marriages. And I think that's part of the reason why I'm so, for whatever reason, anti, like, marriage as an institution. You know what I mean?
I really don't think you're anti-marriage.
Why do you say that?
Because I think deep down you really want it. And I think deep down you would love to have a family and a stable relationship, but you're scared. And I don't want to get too
Get deep.
But I'm just saying, like, I know that there are experiences that can, like, kind of hinder those things. But I really think, like, deep down, like, you want a family and you want something solid. You want a foundation. You want something to build on.
Do you want to know what my biggest fear about having all that stuff is? It's like, let's say I establish a family, right? Let's say I've got a wonderful wife. I've got three great kids. One day I wake up and I'm like, I don't want this anymore.
Then
what do you do? What do you do from
because
there?
Because you're a nomad.
Yeah.
You want to travel.
So what do you do from there?
Dean, that means you make a conscious decision to, like, you know what? You tell your wife, hey, I need a break for a second. I'm going to go travel to Yosemite for 3 days. I just need a little bit of time for myself. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with me. But, like, I love you. And, like, let me just go do my thing. And she will support that. If you are honest and open, you talk about it and you do you. And you come back and you're just like, cool. But the fact is, like, if you need that outlet, then that should be a thing that's established in your marriage. Marriage is like it's a swing dance. It's like a thing. It's you compromise. It doesn't need to be this picture that everyone thinks it needs to be. Like, it needs to be perfect. Everything, every day is like this, that, this, that. Like, hell no. Excuse my language. The wine. But no, it's a compromise. Like, you need to figure out what works for you, and you need to figure out what works for your wife. Like, what if your wife likes to do, like, girls' day every 2 weeks? You know what I mean? Like, you need to figure out what works best for you guys.
I will say that the relationships that I see now that I am an adult, it's weird to say that, but I am an adult, right? 28 years old. The relationships that I see among my peers, you know, the friends that I've made throughout life that seem the most successful, in my opinion, are the ones that allow themselves to have space from each other. The ones that allow themselves to have friendships with other people. And like, I'm going to go have a girls' weekend over here. Okay, well, I'm going to go to the guy's house for the football game.
Absolutely.
And that's something that I don't think we give enough credit to. And it's something that you don't really see, I think, even in our parental relationships, where it's like, you know, you've kind of gotten to this point where you just see your mom and your dad as a cohesive unit, but you don't necessarily see the work that they put in on the back end of it. You know what I mean?
I think that's one thing that I've realized from my divorce, actually. If there's one thing I've grown from, is the fact that, like, I know that each person needs their own time. And I think, like, when at a young age, you always want to be around your significant other. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's one thing that I learned. Brooks, do you have any input on that?
Yeah, you guys are crushing it. You're still an individual.
Right.
Like, you're still your own person. You're going to grow and challenge and change in your own ways. So you need your space to do that. And a partner should support that. They should want that for you. And and I think it's... I also think that one person can't give you everything in the world.
Right? That's, you know, so true.
Like, you have to have different friendships. You have to have different energies. You have to be around different people. One person is not going to be your be-all, everything, your lover, your confidant,
your happiness, trusting,
your best friend. Your, like, they're not going to be everything. You still need other parts of the world. Doesn't mean they aren't your world, but you still need other parts of the world.
I agree.
I love that.
Yeah, I agree. And that's, I think, so true. Like you said, it doesn't take just one person to give you that. All right, one more question before we move on to the next segment, which is going to get a little bit more spicy.
Yeah!
We're going to get spicy, but before we do that, which is more important to you guys separately? Intelligence or common sense? So book smarts or street smarts?
Street smarts.
Street smarts.
Yeah.
I'm going to say street smarts too, I think. But I hate being unanimous on that one. So why do you say street smarts, both of you guys?
I mean, I think it's just life intelligence. So intelligence, you could know a lot about one subject. You could know a lot about, like, computers or whatever. Right. But can you be a good person? Are you kind to people? Can you be compassionate? Do you have any sort of life skills that are greater than this sort of, like, niche thing that you are involved in? So I appreciate intelligence. I have a huge appreciation for it. But if people had street smarts and life skills, I think the world would be a better place.
I completely agree with that. Oh, wow. I'm not marrying you because... I don't know, you have a degree. I'm marrying you because, I don't know, you know how to navigate through life.
Yeah. I will say one of my favorite things about Kaylin is she is very book smart. Mm-hmm. But when she suspects that she might be wrong about something, her ability to grasp her misinformation and then change her mind and figure something out really quickly is so impressive to me. And that's not book smarts, right? That's street sense, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that until I just said that right now, but, like, that's something I really admire about her, is her ability to kind of, like, figure something out on a whim like that. So I agree with you guys. And I hate the fact that we all unanimously agree that, that street smarts is more admirable, but I guess it's just how it is. All right. We're going to take a quick break, but before we do that, I'm not going to do anything. I don't know why I said that. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going
to have a little bit of wine, buddy. That's why you said it.
And we're going to have some, Tori's going to ask some raunchy questions for us. I'm excited for this because, you know what?
Can we not say raunchy?
I'm a prude. Risky. And even saying the word raunchy is, yeah.
It's like a lot.
It's challenging.
I feel like we're about to do, like, a burlesque show.
And the funny thing is, it's like the three of us, like, as good of friends as we've become to be, like,
besties,
we don't know the sexual history at all.
That'll change soon.
And I'm not saying we're going to dive into the sexual history, but, like, maybe we are. So stay tuned and see what happens next. All right, and we are back here with Brooks, Like, and Tayshia Adams. and we're going to answer some questions that Tori has prepared for us. It's going to get a little weird. We're going to get a little intimate
and personal.
My goal
is to make everyone as uncomfortable as possible. No, but I'm just going to start us off easy. All right, ready?
Okay.
My boyfriend won't put me on any of his social media postings. Does this mean we are not a real couple?
Interesting. Right off the bat. I'm going to tackle this one first just because I feel like it's the most applicable for me.
I think the guy's input is coming first. Yes.
It's I'm going to bring myself back 3 years because that's really the only reason. That's the only way I can answer this question. Right? Because it's like, I don't care anymore. I have a girlfriend, whatever. And coming off a television show, when you have a girlfriend, you're like fully invested in that relationship. But 3 years ago, Dean, before he ever had ever went on television to date anyone, he was doing his best to conceal every relationship he had until he was dead set certain in the relationship that he wanted most. That's the one that he's going to post. It's going to take him a while to figure it out. It's not good for anyone. Like, it's not good for him. It's not good for the girls that are involved. The fact of the matter is, it's like he's basically sizing up your relationship every night, every time he posts. The next post might be a relationship post, but if it's not, it's because he's sizing up whether or not it's worth posting about, because he needs to figure out if he wants to continue on in the relationship or not. That's really what it is. If the relationship,
we all have side chicks is what you mean.
The relationship post, that's like the relationship post is the new age, like, will you be my girlfriend? The second you post a picture with your girlfriend, that's like you basically announcing to the world, exactly, I have a girlfriend. So what do you guys think?
I agree.
I don't know. I think it could be either or. I mean, you're entitled to run your own feed however you want. You know, that should not play any sort of, should not have any circumstance on your relationship because you do or don't post.
That's the logical answer, but what's the reasonable answer? Because here's the thing, it's like,
I know married couples that don't post about each other. They like, you, it's also, you could run your Instagram as a business,
right?
Like, people actually, that's a new job, is having an Instagram is your job. You can run that as a business. Now, a lot of people don't do business with their significant others. Like, if you own a business, a brick and mortar store, your wife doesn't have to work there. It's a modern business, Instagram. You don't have to have your significant other on it.
But let's say, like, for most people that are listening to this that don't have a business Instagram.
Well, maybe it's just because I've been hanging around all the Bachelor folks. So I just see
aside from the people you in
guys,
this room.
You guys execute exceptionally, and I'm trying to take some hints.
You're right. It's always personal preference. I think that there are people that post way too soon. There are people that post way too late. If there was a spectrum, I would be more on the too late side. I remember specifically.
What's too late, though?
Years ago, I was exclusive with my girlfriend. We had been dating for so long, not so long, a couple months, right? But I remember posting a photo of us, like, celebrating some victory or whatever it was. And I remember I posted it while I was with her, and she got, like, so many texts from her friends, like, whoa, I can't believe Dean posted a picture of you guys. Like, I'm so happy for you. Like, I'm so proud. Like, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm saying it's a big tell in the relationship. It's, mm-hmm, like, a big step. That's, like, might be a bigger step than it used to be, of course. Mm. Would you guys disagree? Brooks does, obviously. Tayshia?
Well,
as her phone lights up with a new Instagram notification.
No. I feel like, okay, so say you're not dating anyone. People typically are texting a couple of people. Is that right?
Sure.
So say you start, you go on a date with someone and you start liking them, but you're still like kind of texting other people. So posting that photo means that those people that you are texting is well aware of the fact that you are actually more serious about someone. So that's how I view that. It's a pretty serious post in the sense of like, and I hate that posting a picture means so much. Like, I absolutely.
That's like the purgatory into exclusivity in a sense.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
So, but honestly, I feel like people should just be able to post things, and like, people just like, who cares? Oh,
here's my
like,
girlfriend on a Monday. Here's my girlfriend on a Saturday. Here's my girlfriend on a Friday.
Yeah.
I don't know. I disagree. But anyways, we're going to move on.
Are ready for the next question? How many dates until you can sleep with someone?
Tayshia's squirming over here.
Tayshia, go first.
You guys go first.
No, come on.
No.
I think the first date's fine. I don't see why not. If you feel the vibe, if something's going well, I'm not going to sit back and say that I've never slept with someone on the first date. Like, obviously, that happens. It's human nature. If something is going well.
Have you slept with more people on a first date than
on a second or after?
Waiting on
date?
A second or after?
That's a really good question, Tori. And I'm actually kind of offended that you asked that.
Producer Tori. I'm like, wow, producer Tori.
I love it.
We're friends. Keep going. Girl chat.
Out of principle, I'm going to say no, I haven't.
So that's a yes. Okay.
But allow me to reflect on it a little bit more, and I might have a different answer for you. I don't know.
Brooks?
Oh, man. I don't know. I was so bad at the dating game. I missed that whole train. I think if you're, I don't know, like I, as a guy, I wasn't interested in that because I didn't want that to be how the relationship started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wanted to go in and enjoy an evening and then like kind of step back from it. And I think I'm like an old school guy, like at heart somewhat.
Brooks is, you're always the exception in the sense that just like Jared, right? Like Brooks and Jared are just like genuinely inherently amazing men, but you're the exception. You're not the rule. You know what I mean?
I actually think like I'm the exception because I have so little experience in dating.
No, right. You're not the exception because I'm kind of there with you.
Buddy.
What do you mean?
No, like I've never slept on the first date.
Come on. You're going to say I'm the only person here that's slept with someone on the
first
date?
I'm not saying that you're in the wrong, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. However, I can count on one hand how many people I've slept with. So.
How many fingers do you have?
Okay. But I'm just saying, like, no, I take that self really seriously.
All right. Well, yet again, Dean is the ostracized co-host because.
Dean, you have been voted off the island. All right.
So sorry.
Let's move on to the next question.
Everybody to take a sip of their wine.
Yes.
Oh. Take a sip.
We should do those, like, grab your water, Brooks.
I feel like I'm such the wrong person for this episode.
What's your favorite way to be seduced?
Oh.
What a horrible word, seduced.
Oh, what would you like to say?
No, Tayshia has an answer. So that's why.
Speak up now.
Tayshia crosses her arms, sits back, and says, I'm not saying this, which means she definitely has something to say.
I don't.
There's something worth being said that Tayshia's not saying right now.
It could be a foot rub. It could be a whisper in the ear. It could be a kiss on the forehead. What makes you a little bit like, oh.
No, because that creeps me out, because then people are going to know what I like.
Don't give away. Yeah,
Dean and Brooks, you're up.
I get what you're saying.
Here's the thing. If you're listening to this podcast and you're a potential contestant on Bachelorette 2020, stay tuned because Tayshia's about to let you in on what might make her get
false rumors.
Tayshia, come on. You got to tell us.
No, that's really creepy, Dean.
I'm curious as a friend and as a...
I will say something that gets me that I love, and it's very simple. It's just like when you're on a date, when the man grabs your like waist, the lower hook around the waist, I'm like, hi.
I'm going to piggyback off of that. There is a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, you can go beyond grabbing the waist, right? And once you've established that, you can like go under the shirt a little bit, not like go under the shirt, but like between the t-shirt and the jeans, there's like an inch gap, and sometimes you can like slide a middle finger in there on the hip, and that might be the most intimate moment of any relationship. Is the second you make skin to skin contact?
I was just gonna say, some
are you guys hearing this?
The second you go skin to skin outside of wrists and above, that's when things get become a little bit more sexual than they might have been before.
Brooks, what about you?
I like ears, actually. My ears are... And I think in general, ears are a very erogenous zone, aren't they not?
So when you look at an ear or when like someone gives you an ear?
Not really looking at an ear. No, like
Tori,
when
you are on it. You are on it.
I think, actually, earlobes are actually... Aren't they supposed to be like an erogenous zone? I don't know. I like when like my wife kisses my ear.
Is it like, nice. Erogenous, like a rock formation or something like that?
No, that's erogenous.
Oh, erogenous.
Can you cut that?
No, before
I don't want to sound stupid.
Before we move on to the next one, Tayshia definitely has something to say that she wanted to share with us.
I do like it when people whisper in my ear.
Okay, yeah. See,
that was absolutely a very, very.
No, but like, yeah.
It's playful. It's no, playful. I like, it's playful, I like, and it's teasing, innocent. It's leading, and it's playful, and
it's so innocent. Why did you want to keep that from us?
It's just like, I don't want random people whispering in my ear.
Well, okay, yes, I agree. If you're listening to this, do not whisper in Tish's ear.
Unless, like, there's a second date or something.
Unless you get a middle finger between the t-shirt and the jean gap, then maybe whisper in the ear.
Because that's just weird. Can you imagine?
I've never heard of the middle finger between the t-shirt and the jean gap.
Dean's an awkward one. I'm a
weird All right, guy. Ready for the next?
Yes.
Do you prefer sex in the morning, afternoon, or evening?
Mm. Nice. That's a great question.
Brooks?
Any, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
Truthfully, I mean, it used to be evening mainly, but now I'm not playing hockey. I'm retired. My day can be what I want it to be, so it doesn't have to be evening.
Hmm. Yeah. Dean?
No, Tasha, I would love for you to follow that up.
I asked both of you men first.
I'm embarrassed because mine's the exact opposite. It's almost like none. I've gotten to the point where, especially considering the fact that I have a broken leg and I can't do the things that I want to do, my motivation's kind of shot. Which also means my sexual vigor of sorts, I guess you would say, is a little shot as well. And I'm a little embarrassed about it sometimes, but I'm willing to obviously talk about it on here. So when you say morning, afternoon, or night, I would say honestly none of them because I'm disgraced by myself sometimes.
You don't have to be so dramatic.
No, but it really is.
But at the same time, you don't need to be...
Well, it definitely hurts. Condemning. It definitely hurts, right? Like I've got a hip issue, and thrusting would be inherently painful. But there, you know, it's not really. It's a sensitive subject.
Right? It's just a season. I think it's just a season. It's like sometimes you'll go on like a workout kick or a health kick or a whatever, like a meditation kick or whatever you're into. Like I think there's many seasons of life, and I think that's no different with sex drive.
I've talked about it on the podcast before. I don't want to bring it back to like a year ago, but Tayshia, what do you have to say?
Wait.
No, you're right. I was going to say something and then midway through saying
it. Just say it. Say I'm dying. Say it.
I was going to say, I do think that I border on the spectrum of asexuality. Like I'm not like super motivated by sex. Like it doesn't, like I don't have to be in a relationship for the fact of having sex with someone. Like the person-to-person connection, in my opinion, is more important to me than the physical connection. While I do think the physical connection is important, of course, in any situation, it's not like an inherent necessary implement of the relationship for me. You know what I mean?
I love that.
And some people are the opposite. Some people are. I had a friend who was like, "I have to have a boyfriend because I can't go more than 2 days without having sex."
That's insane.
Yeah, some people are the exact opposite.
But then there are people like that, that are, because you're right. I feel like in a society that we live in now, like sex has become such a prevalent thing, and everyone talks about it. Everyone knows that everyone's doing it, but then you're also kind of like expected to be doing it all the time. And in a situation like mine, where I'm like, sex is great, don't get me wrong. Like, I love sex. It's fantastic. If you're doing it, fantastic. If you're not doing it, that's also great. But I feel like sometimes relationships are judged by that. Like, it's like a barometer for how successful a relationship is. When in reality, like, that's just like a small fraction of it. And like, in the beginning stages, sure, it's like an important facet of a relationship. But as things move on, and Brooks, I'm sure you can attest to this because you've been in a relationship longer than any of us have been. It's like, it doesn't become less of a relationship, but it becomes less of a priority or less of a necessary part of it.
No, I think that part grows as the other part grows as well. Like you can still learn about somebody, and I'm only 6 years in with my wife. You still continue to learn about you, and also you change and you evolve, and your desires and cravings and her desires and cravings, they change as well. You're not going to be the same sexual being that you are now the rest of your life, you know, and your partner's not either. You're going to have, you know, things that change within you. And, maybe you're more into atmosphere. Maybe you like music more. Maybe you like more sensual connection. Mm-hmm. Maybe you like it. You're going to, and that can be daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. Like you're going to go through different ebbs and flows. And that's what I've learned in my partnership, is learning more about that. And I don't think it diminishes over time. I actually think you explore more and, you reach a different level of connection with that person.
Beautiful.
Tayshia. I agree, but also I agree with that. I feel like there are things that I find more stimulating than others. But at the same time, I feel like there are times that what are you looking at?
Tori's computer.
Oh. At the other time, I feel like sometimes, like, when work gets really busy, you know, sometimes someone's really preoccupied in their mind or whatever, and, like, that part of a relationship kind of diminishes. But then at the same time, it kind of grows at different times. But I would say that I never answered the question. Afternoon.
Yeah, there you
is
go.
Is my time.
You're right.
Afternoon.
Delight.
Delight.
Morning. Afternoon.
Interesting.
Okay.
Delight. That's the last one I would have expected.
In your really? Opinion, what does it mean to be good in bed?
Oh, great question, actually.
I don't like that.
That's a great question.
Good in bed for a guy, I think... Brooks obviously could answer this question better than the rest of us because this guy's
Why?
A stallion over here. Morning, afternoon, nighttime, it doesn't matter to him. He's getting it all times.
Oh, Dean. Dean. You actually,
he's blushing.
You know me very little.
This guy just never gives it. Whatever. Anyway, for me, someone that's very generous, I think, is probably the best thing for that, right? Like, what was the question again? What
I was does it mean? Just going to say the same thing.
I'll go at it. What does it mean to be good in bed? Right?
Correct.
Is that the
someone
question?
Someone that's
what does it mean to you to be good in bed?
Oh, yeah. To me, as far as a
the other person, what
you're
going to
get?
For.
No. I'm going to answer this as far as not the other person. I don't care about the other person. I care about me. this has gotten very weird as far as the Help I Suck at Dating podcast goes.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So, here, let me put a thought out there. I think it's openness and willingness.
And communication.
Yeah, it's like...
And trust.
Like, here's the thing. You're thinking one thing. They might be thinking another thing. You have cravings. You have desires. They do too. And none of us are perfect at this. And I'm not going to read minds. And, you know, like there's... Trust is a great word for it. I think just an openness and a willingness. And I think you also need to speak on what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't expect your partner to fulfill your every need. They don't know what you're thinking.
Communication is great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So be open, be honest, speak up for what you want. And I also heard a great line on a podcast the other day that was amazing. It's just a beautiful line. It was nothing dirty can exist between two people in love.
Mm.
You know, so what, you know, it was just like, you love the person, explore with the person, whatever you guys are into. I mean, there's many different ways to explore sexuality.
It's weird, to speak candidly, it seems like there's a bit of a taboo attached to the idea of communicating sexually with your partner. You know what I mean?
Which is insane, because if you think of all of life, like the most powerful thing in the world is sexual energy. It's the only reason we're here. You're here, you're here, you're here, because there was enough sexual energy between two people to literally create a life. Yet it's the thing that's taboo, that we don't talk about, that we don't explore. We know very little about it. And hands up, I'm one of these guys. And so this year I've started to learn more about intimacy, learn more about sexuality. Like, what does it mean to be a sexual being? We know very little about it, yet it's such a powerful thing in the world.
That's so true. I didn't even think about that.
Sexual
energy is like a huge deal.
Well, the weird thing for me to think about, and when I like internalize it, is in my relationship, I'm super open, but I feel like there are still things sexually that we're like kind of closed off about. You know what I mean? So it's like, there are so many things that you can be open about, but at the end of the day, it's like, are you being open 100%? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the weird thing to think about.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, we got one more question.
Oh, I have two more, actually.
Two more questions. Sorry.
Okay.
I've been drinking too much wine. Sorry.
Oh. Have you ever had sex with someone that you did not know the name of?
Before
you forgot their name.
Next question.
So that's a yes from Dean.
Can you guys all, let's go ahead and cut this part out. Can you go ahead and move on to the next question, please? It's not for me. It's for the unnamed co-host.
Cut it out for a friend.
So what was that next question, Tori?
No, Dean.
What's the next question?
You've already said.
Tayshia, Brooks, you guys want to answer this question? Or no, you guys both want to move on to the next one? All right, let's move on to the next one.
I'm here to ask the hard-hitting questions.
So what's the next question then, Tori?
Where is the most spontaneous place you've ever had sex?
Really?
I think Tayshia's got an answer.
This is the one you like nexted to?
Top of mind.
I don't have an answer.
Most spontaneous place?
I do, but like...
Yes, you do.
So I'm going to just echo her answer. I don't have an answer. I mean, I do, yeah. But my mic malfunctioned.
Yeah,
here.
Well,
I just gotta
this is
check
really
it.
Weird. Yeah. Check two, check. One, two. Yeah,
okay, I'll working. Start off with yeah. it then, you guys. The most spontaneous place that I've ever... yes. Okay. Anyways, I'm not going to say the words. It's weird. Okay. Anyways. I think when I was in college, and when I say, I think, obviously, I mean, I know, it happened in a public park, and it was
a public park.
Nightfall had come upon us.
And what were you doing at night in a park?
We were having sex.
We
were ew!
We were young and in love,
you
okay?
You are the people my parents told me to stay away from.
We were young and in love, okay?
Stop.
Nothing could stop us, not even public, what, I don't even
parks.
Know.
With wood
not
chips.
Even PDA laws, you know what I mean? Okay. Anyways, that's my answer. What's your guys's? Come on. Tayshia, I promise you your father's not going to listen to this podcast.
My mic is dead.
Your father is not going to listen to this. Come on.
My dad is definitely listening to this.
0% chance.
Dad. Hello. All right. Yeah. On to the next.
Oh, my gosh. Sometimes.
Well, you skipped my other.
Dean, you're a pioneer.
Being a co-host of this podcast is pretty tricky when both your co-hosts are prudes.
Oh, I got co-host approval here?
Yes, listen. Brooks. Come on.
Listen. I thought I was just guest.
Yeah,
but
no,
I'm co-hosting.
Can we correct that?
What, prudes?
No.
Or co-host?
Yeah.
No, you're just the co-host.
I'm
just a guest.
To start divulging more information
Brooks
if you're going to want
to
be considered co-host.
I'm the guest today.
No, just as a guest, I don't need to divulge in as much as like a co-host.
You're a
like
co-host.
No,
come
Brooks
on.
Is definitely the co-host. Anyway, okay. Next
I'll
question.
Take the next one.
We have one more question.
Yep, and then we'll get into emails.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, cool.
Sorry, your mic almost fell. Okay, have you ever had a sex dream about a coworker, a teammate, a boss, a coach, any of those? Have you ever had a sexual dream?
I'll answer this one. No.
They were come all, on.
A coworker, a teammate? I'm on a team with 23 dudes.
Hey, it's called a dream weird? For a reason, Brooks.
Yeah,
come on.
I have never had a sexual dream about a coworker, teammate, coach, boss, ultimately. Anything like that. No,
there's female sports trainers out there. So,
but we never had one on our team.
You never had a female physical therapist?
Oh, he did.
No. I have had a female physical therapist, but I've never had a sex dream about one.
Tayshia?
I plead the fifth.
Oh, my gosh.
Like
you guys are
tenth.
So boring sometimes.
Have you ever had a sexual dream about a coworker, a boss?
A peer?
A peer.
Yeah.
Tell us about
it. Like, the scenario of it.
Yeah, she goes, I plead the fifth. Yeah. Then she goes, yeah.
Of course they have.
Well, I thought if I said yeah, then I didn't have to like answer with more
No,
details.
We need more, Tayshia.
I'll share my story before you can, while you think of yours. So when I first graduated college, I got a job at a great recruiting agency in Denver, Colorado. And the thing about this recruiting agency is they hire only attractive men and women to become, you know, successful people at some point in their lives. Anyways, the sales managers of my office were both very successful. They were both very beautiful. They were both very young. They were, you know, late 20s, early 30s. And I'm working my butt off, and I show up one day to work, and my sales manager, there's one man and one woman, and they're both sales managers, and the female sales manager comes to me, and she like pulls me aside in the morning of what we call the stand-up, which is where we like run over all of our open requisitions, and we run over like all of our open possibilities to like close deals and make money, etc. She pulls me like aside before we like jump into everything, and she goes, hey, Dean, last night like I had a weird sexual dream about you. And this woman is like a highly sought after woman in the office. Like, she's beautiful and she's very successful. Obviously she's a sales manager, but she's also like married. Right. And so it's like, it was obviously a dream, and dreams don't mean anything in my opinion.
Yeah,
but like the fact that she like
Why would she say that?
Every guy in the office had a crush on this girl because she was like beautiful, successful, smart, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. Beautiful. Pulled me aside and she goes, and I was like 2 weeks into my job at this point. And she goes, Dean, I had a sex dream about you last night. And it was like the weirdest thing I've ever experienced. It was like, I loved it. I'm not going to lie.
Serious?
Yes, she was serious. I'm not going to lie. I liked it. Like, it made me feel very like validated for even being in the office at that point. I walked around the rest of the day with my chest puffed out. I was like, oh, what's up? What's up, Mike? Do you hear what she said about me? And then I was, oh, Jason, you hear what she said about me?
I feel like with that mustache right now, that's perfect. The story
honestly,
is perfect.
In the way you're holding
it. Yeah. Did anything ever happen between you and said woman?
Absolutely not. Oh. But the idea that she like, you know, had the impression that something possibly could happen was like, that was exciting to a 22-year-old who had just gotten his first job out of college.
So you didn't think about contacting HR?
I don't think HR existed in the company. Even if it did, I don't think I was excited. Like, I wasn't upset about
it. That's absolutely crazy that she would come up to you and say that.
It was more of like, oh, hey, Dean, guess what? Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, okay. I see.
But I was more of like, whoa.
I have something like similar in that vein. My first pro camp, I was 18 years old. I had just been drafted to go to pro camp. And we have to pass a physical before we can even get on the ice. And I go downstairs to see the doctor and walk into the doctor's office. And it's this attractive woman. And I'm like, whoa, okay. And so anyway, this is my first like big physical. I'm 18 years old, right? And then she checks out a couple joints, whatever. She's like, okay, drop your drawers. And I'm like, what? And she's like, I need to feel your testicles. Like to, I need to, like they do a check, you know, the cough. Have you ever had that, Dean? Like the yeah. So I'm like, yeah. I'm like thinking, I'm like, what do I do here? I'm like, I'm an 18-year-old kid. This woman's probably like 40 years old, very attractive, and I'm like, I'm terrified. I'm gonna get a boner, like terrified, because she's gonna put her hands right up there, and I have to cough, and this is gonna. I'm like, oh my god. And I think I closed my eyes, so I wouldn't think about it and just dropped my shorts. And then we did it. And it was like the most awkward thing in my life.
Hey, listen, sometimes when someone's grabbing the things that they're not supposed to grab, like it invokes excitement. You know what I mean?
Hey, it's a natural thing, right?
I agree. Hey, before we're going to move on to one more thing, but before we do that, we're going to take one quick break and we will be right back to it.
Oh, I just thought my boss is hot. Like, it's not the big
one. Before we get back to it, Tayshia is going to share her vivid sex dream about some man that she used to work with.
You are the worst.
I feel like I'm the only one.
Can you stop? Okay.
Listen, it's hard when you're both angels.
I have a lot of Brooks on the line Tayshia, right now, and I'm not going to do all that.
I get it.
Okay.
Tori, we understand that we have an email from a listener that needs a little bit of help. So let's dive into that real quick.
I just got into a long-distance relationship. I met my boyfriend back in July, and we have talked every day since. He's coming down for Valentine's Day, and I've never done this long-distance thing, and I'm still learning how to handle it. But I do need more affection through texting. My love language is words of affirmation, and I don't get that from him. When we say goodbye, after we see each other, we both get kind of emotional, and I keep saying it over and over. But when I say it to him over FaceTime or text, he never says it back. I feel like he doesn't get the clues I send, and when I feel like he doesn't get the clues I send him when I want him to say something to me. How do I bring it back up to him without sounding too scary or needy?
See, the thing with this situation is I can't really contribute to this argument because words of affirmation is my absolute lowest words of affirmation. I can't give words of affirmation. Like, I'm absolutely horrible at it. So I don't want to sit here and pretend like I'm good at it. So I think Tayshia should answer this question.
Wait, so you never give anyone words of affirmation?
I'm the most sarcastic, so like biggest piece of shit.
Yeah, but can like take that as in like, oh.
But like the way like, that I show affection is like I'll like be around you and I'll like I'll hug you or like I'll bring you places or I'll get you presents. Like words of affirmation, like me telling you that you are like my specials person, et cetera, et cetera. Like it just like something about that just like is gives that, me gives me sh- like shivers.
Okay,
like
so it, what you're saying is you've never been in a long distance relationship.
No, any long distance relationship has been the wrong distance relationship.
Okay, what about you, Brooks?
I have been in long. I did long distance with my wife for 3.5 years.
Okay, but I
have a quick question for you, Dean. Do you not give words of affirmation because words of affirmation to you don't matter that much?
I haven't.
Is it because you seem vulnerable?
I haven't gotten to the bottom of why I don't. I'm sure you could relate it back to like my childhood and like perhaps why like I didn't get the things that I thought that I wanted. I just like it makes me cringe. Like when, yes, I'm in a relationship now, and when things are said like, oh, like baby or like the L word, like those types of things, that like it makes me like shudder a little bit because it's like,
what about I miss you?
Don't tell me, like show me, like don't tell me, like come here and embrace me, come yeah, here so, and you know, like that type of stuff.
Yeah, so because quite often I think people, I until I learned about love languages and you learn what's important to your partner, you give love the way you want to receive love. Mm-hmm. So I was like an acts of service and quality time. So I would give love that way because that's what I love the most, if somebody would do that for me. But my partner maybe doesn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's maybe why maybe his love language in this question isn't words of affirmation. So he doesn't give it that much because it doesn't matter for him to receive it back. But maybe for her it does. I'm sure he could probably be better. I've done a long distance, a little note or a little... anything like I'm thinking about you, I miss you, little text, video
message,
anything.
Tell me this, what are your love languages?
Mine are quality time, affection, physical touch, quality time, physical touch, and then acts of service.
And your significant other, are they the same or are they different?
No, hers is I think quality time and gifts. And physical touch.
So then do you adapt to then getting her gifts and physical touch, et cetera? Like,
yeah.
That's you, you're adapting to giving her the things that she wants?
Yeah. I mean, that's the dance, I think, what Tayshia was talking mm-hmm. about earlier in a marriage is you learn that kind of stuff. You learn what's important to them. Because giving love the way that you want love isn't the way that your partner does. And that can be misconstrued and they can actually feel unseen.
Absolutely.
You know, if somebody's giving you, Dean, if somebody's giving you just words of affirmation but not spending any time with you or not touching you, like you're like, she doesn't love me. Like I feel rejected. She just tells me she does, but she doesn't show it.
I can feed you words all day.
There's that age old adage, don't treat your neighbor how you want to be treated. Treat your neighbor how they want to be treated.
I think this is awesome, but just because of your lifestyle that you kind of don't have,
you don't have
many
neighbors.
But you're throwing the most awesome neighbor
like it
quote.
Just doesn't work.
Like he's Wilson from next door or he's Tim from Home Improvement. Wilson,
you guys, thank
door.
You so I much for joining us for this week's episode of Help I Suck at Dating.
I love it, man.
As always,
Tayshia and Brooks would never be joining us again.
Hey, but in Dean could say in his defense, everyone's his neighbor.
As always, I'm Dean Unglertz. Big thank you to our co-hosts, Brooks Like and Tayshia Adams. As always, you guys, wow. I don't even know where to begin with both of you.
Love ya.
Be sure to check out Brooks' podcast, How Men Think, on iHeartRadio. Be sure to check out Tayshia Adams. She will be our next Bachelorette, Bachelorette 2020. Be sure to tune into our next episode of Help I Suck at Dating, because maybe then we'll suck a little bit less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.